we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Oh, good morning. Happy Memorial Day. We are so glad that you are tuning in to 91.5 WMIE this morning. Thank you for listening to the Refresh radio broadcast. Thank you for being alive. thank you that you've tuned in. And if you happen to be catching us on the TuneIn app or on the website, on demand, we're just thankful that you have chosen to tune in today. And so we want to say thank you this morning to Jits Concrete, 536-5804, 536-5804. If you need any block or construction or concrete work done, give Greg a call at Jits Concrete, 536-5804. They will do a great job for you. And so we want to thank those who filled in for us yesterday with worship. Bob Hathaway led worship for us, and one of our families at the church, and we're thankful for all that they do. Heidi and Bill were away celebrating their wedding anniversary, which had taken place a little bit earlier. They go away every year to celebrate their anniversary. And so we're praying that when they come back, they're going to be just fully refreshed and ready to go. And we've got some exciting things that are now just a couple of weeks away. Our 65th anniversary service, June 10th and June 11th. We encourage you to come and be a part of that. Great celebration that is going to be taking place. 6:30 on June the 10th, 6:30 p.m., 10:30 on June the 11th. And, we're praying that miracles will be taking place, that people will be giving their heart to Jesus, and that people are going to be revived and refreshed in their spirit. It's going to be a great, great time. And so hopefully you'll put that on your calendar and come and be a part of what God is doing. We are in Isaiah chapter 64. And by the way, if you have any prayer requests or questions, if you've got anything you'd like for us to be considering as we move on from the book of Isaiah, we've still got Isaiah chapter 65 and chapter 66. If you've got some questions that maybe you'd like us to address, we can address those. Email those or prayer requests to us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com, merrittassembly@hotmail.com. Or you can reach us on our Facebook page as well. So, Isaiah chapter 64. Let's not read all of that today, and let's just pick up in verse number 8. That's where we were on Friday. It says, "But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are potter. And all we are the work of your hand. Do not be furious, O Lord, nor remember iniquity forever. Indeed, please look, we all are your people. Your holy cities are a wilderness. Zion is a wilderness. Jerusalem, a desolation. Our holy and beautiful temple, where our fathers praised you, is burned up with fire, and all our pleasant things are laid waste. Will you restrain yourself because of these things, O Lord? Will you hold your peace and afflict us very severely?" So there is a couple of different translations that have come in verse number 12, and they say something like this: "Will you restrain yourself because of these things, O Lord?" Another translation is, "And not come to our aid." Not come to our aid. And then the latter part of the verse, "Will you hold your peace and afflict us very severely And another translation says, will you not command our deliverance? And so Isaiah does not do what a number of people say to do, and that is you just don't mention the negative. You don't mention, you know, if you've got a present reality that is less than ideal, you just don't talk about it. You just gloss right over it and go on. Isaiah spells out pretty clearly what is going on in the community at that time. He's talked about in earlier verses, in verse number 5, you are indeed angry, for we have sinned. Our iniquities, like the wind, in verse 6, have taken us away. Verse 7, there is no one who calls on your name. Verse number 9, do not be furious, O Lord. Look, we are your people. Your holy cities are a wilderness. Zion is a wilderness. Jerusalem a desolation. And our temple is burned with fire. And every pleasant thing in our life is laid waste. I don't get that that's a glossing over. I don't get where he is denying the reality of it. I think that what he is connecting is that there is a correlation there between their iniquity, their rebellion, their sin, and the current situation which they find themselves in, where instead of it being a thriving, vibrant community of faith, it is a desolate, abandoned, devastated region. That's what I see. And so I do want you to know that in the price tag of sin is very high, very high. You don't want to pay it. You know, I don't know if you have ever looked at things and said, this is what the price tag is, only to find out that that was just the down payment. It looked so affordable until you read the fine print and discovered, no, there's only 84 more payments that you've got to make. That's 7 years. You know, that's like 1/10 of your lifespan on a normal average person that lives to 70 years old. Do you really want to be paying for something for 1/10 of your life? Is it really, really that essential to have, knowing that the borrower is servant to the lender? Anyway, so Isaiah begins to cry out and he says, God, do not be furious because of our iniquity. We want you to know we are fully aware that we have messed up, but we are still your people. And that's what I see when I look through this passage. Listen to how many times you hear the word you. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You, our potter. We are the work of your hand. Indeed, please look, verse number 9. We all are your people. Your holy cities are a wilderness. Our holy temple, where our fathers praised you. So it's not, you know, just about the time you think that he's about to move into our temple, he says, it was where we praised you, and now it is burned up with fire, and everything that was pleasant to us is laid waste. You see, I am firmly of the persuasion that I need to remember whose I am. Not who I am, but to whom I belong. I belong to God. He's got the receipt. I people make fun of me because I carry around my receipts for a while in my wallet, and my wallet ends up swelling. It ends up being way, way too thick. And lest you think it's got money in it, it doesn't. It has a whole lot of receipts in it, which I have to clean out regularly so that I can, you know, get my wallet in and out of my pocket. But I keep those receipts until I don't think that I'm going to need to carry them around anymore. And then I file them away. And I want you to know that Jesus carries around the receipt of the price that he paid for you and I. It's his nail-pierced hands and his nail-pierced feet. It is his spear-pierced side and his thorned crown brow. And I want you to know today that if you said yes to Jesus being your Lord and your Savior and asking him to forgive you of your sins, I want you to know that you belong to him and you aren't for sale. You aren't for sale. So don't try, you know, if you go and try and sell something that belongs to another person, that's called fraud. It's called theft. There are all sorts of legal troubles you can get into because you are trying to sell something that you do not own. The scripture says, you are not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, the life I live is not my own. It is Jesus Christ living inside of me. And so I want to remind you to whom you belong. You belong to God. You belong to God. Now, I've told you before that when I first came to Merit Assembly of God, a church was very helpful to us. The pastor there at that time was very, very helpful to us, and so he didn't see much hope for our church, to be honest with you, but there was this pastor that came there that just believed that God was in the business of building churches, not closing churches, and so this guy said, I'd better help this crazy man out because he's going to need all the help he can get, and he loaned us a video by Gary Smalley, who held up a broken, dilapidated violin. I mean, it looked like a piece of junk, and you couldn't play a note on it. The only thing that held the neck and the body together was the strings. There was a couple of violin strings that were still attached, and nobody was very impressed with it until he said, the name on the inside of this violin says Stradivarius. And then everybody said, ooh, he said, yeah, I had to get special permission from the owner of this violin to come and use it as a display for you today, as a demonstration, because the owner sees great value in this, even in its brokenness. And today, no matter what you're going through, you may be going through the deepest, darkest valley you've ever gone through. Remember who you belong to, because that is exactly what Isaiah appealed to. He said, God, we've sinned. We've sinned. We've messed up. We've abandoned you. We're guilty on all counts. There's no way that we can plead not guilty. We are guilty. It's been our iniquity, our rebellion, our sin, our shame. Our problem, but we still belong to you. Remember who you belong. If you're listening today, and maybe it's been a while since you connected with the body of Christ, I want to remind you that God hasn't forgotten who you are. He still knows the number of your heads. He knows the thoughts and the intents of your heart, knows the plans that he has for you. He just wants you to say yes to his plan. You know, I've gotten lost before. I know that might come as a surprise, but I've gotten lost while traveling before. And I really like this feature on GPS that says, hey, if you are not on the path you're supposed to be on, it'll say recalculating, and it will tell you how to get back to the path where you are supposed to be. Today, God knows exactly where you are. He's not recalculating. He's just saying, you know what? You need to make a U-turn right here. You need to stop running from me and start running to me. Today, I want you to know that you and I, we belong to God. And if we will allow Him to have the authority over us as the clay, like we talked about on Friday's broadcast, He can take care of the sin issue. He can take care of those holy cities that are wildernesses. He can take care of Jerusalem, which is a desolation. He can take care of the temple and cause it to be rebuilt, and the glory of the latter temple will be greater than the glory of the former temple. And He can restore the pleasant things that have been taken away and cause the thief to restore multiple times over. You see, if we will take care of God's authority in our life, He'll take care of all of the problems one by one. So it says, God, will you restrain yourself because of these things? And like I've added from another translation, and not come to our aid. Do you think today that if you heard that one of your children or one of your grandchildren needed you, they needed your help? By the way, there's a scam out there where people will call pretending to be your children or your grandchildren and have you send them money to get them out of jail or something like that. You got to understand that how that scam works. Don't be doing that. Okay. You say, where are you? And I will come to you. If they tell you in the Brevard County Jail, that I can tell you what, that jail's not on wheels. You can find it up in Cocoa and Port St. John area, Canaveral Groves area. You'll find it up there. And so, you know, don't fall victim to a scam. But if you, being a human being, if there was a person in desperate need, wouldn't you come to their rescue? Wouldn't you come to their aid? And Isaiah says, God, with everything that has been taken from us, we are looking to you. Will you come to help us? Will you come to help us? Jesus is proof that He will come to help us. You see, I know that Memorial Day is a very sad time. It's, you know, remembering people who've perished, and it's just a very reminiscent time and brings back a lot of affection. But remember that Jesus paid the highest price so that you and I could spend eternity with Him. And all our loved ones who were believers in Jesus Christ, they're worshiping around the throne as well. And so I can't wait to get to that worship service. That's going to be absolutely wonderful. If He did all of that, do you think He'll come to help you? I think He will. I think He will. How about the Holy Spirit, who's called the Comforter, the Paraclete, one who is called alongside to help? We were having this discussion, a guy that comes to our church and myself, we were having this discussion about if there was a person in need, what would you do? What I was talking about was a video that I'd seen some time ago about a dog that had been kept imprisoned and he had never touched grass. And they took him out into a park, this wide open area, and they opened up this cage that he had never been allowed out of before. And he was very hesitant. And finally, I believe somebody had to get in and show him how to get out. You see, they weren't going to force him to get out. They had to go in and say, this is the way to get out. And it was such a new experience that he needed someone in the Air Force. It was called shepherding. It was someone who would come alongside a crippled aircraft or you know, maybe the instruments had broken and they didn't know how to get back to the aircraft carrier, and somebody would come and show them how to get back to where they needed to be. And a man from my church said, you know, I had somebody that told me one time that that's the exact opposite thing. And we got into a discussion about whether or not you needed to go to where the person was. And I said, well, you know, as best I can tell, the Good Samaritan went to where the injured man was that had been beaten and robbed. He went down to where he was and picked him up and took him to where he needed to be. And he came to his rescue while some other people just walked on the side of the road and they were too spiritual to get involved. And so there are some wisdom principles you need to employ and things like that. But I want you to know today that you, if you are in the mess of your life, that God is waiting for you to call on him because he will come to your rescue. The second question is, will you hold your peace and afflict us very severely? The other note that I've got written down here is, will you not command our deliverance? Will you not command our deliverance? Jesus comes to set captives free. That's what he does. When God's word goes forth, it never goes forth, you know, impotent. It never just goes forth with no power behind it. It always strikes its mark. I will tell you that the Bible never says that there will be a famine of the word of God. There will never be a famine of God's word going forth. There will never be a famine of God speaking. It describes that there would be a famine of hearing the word of God. And so today, if you are wanting God to come and change your world and change your circumstances and change you and him be the one in authority and him having the power over the clay like the potter does. And you say, God, from now on, this will not be my life. This will be your life. And all of your successes will be my successes. And all of my failures, I surrender to you. God, will you come and will you make a glorious message out of this mess that I have made? Would you turn this horrible thing into a testimony of your grace? Will you come to help me? Will you come to my rescue? Will you come to my aid? And God, when you come, if you will speak, I know this, that the gates are going to open. If you speak, Lazaruses are going to come forth. Things that have died that you want to live, they're going to be resurrected. I know, God, that if you speak, your word is going to strike its mark. It is going to hit it with pinpoint accuracy. God, when you speak, I'm going to be attentive. I'm going to hang on your every word. God, when you speak, things take place. God, would you speak for my deliverance? The Bible says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The Bible says that if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. And a lot of people put the emphasis on the truth being what sets you free. But there's a process there. And that is that God's word has to abide in us. We have to abide in him. His word abides in us. And then we have to allow that process to cause us to know the truth. See, we live in a time where deceiving spirits are operating round the clock. I've never seen anything like it. And deceiving spirits will, if you don't believe them on the merits, they will just try and increase the volume. They will try and increase the pressure to try and convince you the truth. But listen, when you know the truth personally, you're not going to give in to the intimidating and the terrorizing tactics of deception and deceiving spirits. Man, I will never forget a time I was going through a very difficult season in my life, and I was trying to figure out what in the world was going on, and God gave me that scripture that in the last days people would be following deceiving spirits. Let me see if I can turn over to that and share it with you here before we get out of here on this Memorial Day. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. And listen, when I got that word in my devotions that day, when I knew that it was a spiritual problem, then I knew how to attack the problem. I knew that I needed how to pray in that situation. I had my praying instructions, if you will, and I began to address that situation, and that situation changed. I don't know where you are today, but if you are finding your current circumstances less than ideal, I want to remind you, God loves you. He wants to forgive you of your sins, but he wants you to know that you belong to him. And he wants to come. He wants you to call out to him and say, God, come to my rescue and command my deliverance, because whatever God says, whatever he has planned, those plans will not be thwarted. The devil's plans or to override the word of God are not going to come to pass. God's word will prevail. Father, I just pray right now that if anybody here today on this Memorial Day is going through the trial of their life, God, I pray that you would come to their rescue, that they would say, God, I am yours. I want to worship you. I want to be known as your child, walk in covenant with you. And God, I pray that your word would go forth from your throne today, and that the word would be this: you are delivered, you are set free, and the devil's stronghold has no power over you from this day forward. God bless you. Have a great Memorial Day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, I bring you something new, I tell how great you are, I tell my praise to you. It's like an